from ESPN covers the Titans. Cameron Wolf joins us. Cameron, thanks for some time this morning, man. When you look back on what you saw last night, difference between the first half and the second half, what really stood out to you in the team's ability to change up what they were doing in the second half?
Yeah, at first I'll look on the defensive side of the ball, and that probably gets lost a little bit in the way Marcus played, but they made some adjustments as far as sending some more blitzes, tighter coverage, more pressure. They look like a really strong defensive unit in the second half, and you got to give a lot of credit to the defensive backs. They get a lot of blame when things go wrong, and they played really well last night. Logan Ryan had a great game. They felt like they made T.Y. Hilton disappear. He had one catch for 19 yards, and this is probably one of the NFL's best receivers coming in. So they did a great job covering him, covering on the back end. And, you know, this defensive unit really buckled down in the second half, forcing three and outs and letting the offense heat up.
Well, you look at the offense, and certainly we'll address Marcus, but I wanted to see them sort of lean on that offensive line on a Colts defense that might have been the worst that they faced to date in the regular season. And while they weren't picking up big chunks, obviously the 72-yard run skews the stats. I like seeing 35 touches between the two of them before that last run for 160 yards. I feel like that should be the exact game plan that they employ every single weekend.
Yeah, I was just looking at the snap count reps, and Derrick Henry actually out-snapped DeMarco Murray, but this wasn't a game where you could see DeMarco Murray complaining because he got plenty of touches as well, both in the run game and in the receiving game out of the backfield. So I think this is the type of performance, you know, comparison-wise, that you know, for both of the backs that you want to see going forward, both guys getting, you know, 15-plus touches. And you being able to lean on Derrick Henry late on games to force a tired defense to tackle him. And that's not something teams want to do. And we saw that on a 72-yard run. It was something where he finally got outside the edge and the Colts were just done. And I know a lot of fans and sometimes us in the media, we see them run into a 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And we're like, why don't they change it up? That's why. Because, you know, you keep depending and keep leaning on the run game. Something will eventually pop. Defenses get worn down. And if that's your identity, you do that, even if it's not pretty.
We're talking to Cameron Wolf, ESPN Titans reporter. So, Cameron, when you think about what we saw from Marcus Mariota last night, let's take a negative and make it a positive here. Obviously, the injury limited his mobility, but he looked really effective just standing in the pocket and throwing a football. Do you think that seeing that is some sort of a piece of progression that means he's going to play a different style as the year goes on, or was that just sort of an aberration?
No, I could see him, and he won't admit it, but I could see him gaining confidence throughout the game, based on him being able to be effective solely with his arm and not needing to move outside the pocket. He only had one throw outside of the pocket last night, and it was a throwaway. All 360 of his yards came inside the pocket, and that's something he hasn't had to do in his entire career. You could see him slowing down his feet, processing things a little better, and making accurate, stronger throws, particularly to the boundary area. So I think this was the best game that he's played so far. Some could argue the Seattle game based on opponent. But this was really, you know, a game where he gutted out a performance where he wasn't 100%, but he looked like every bit of a pocket-passing quarterback that a lot of these franchise these teams have in their franchise quarterback.
Special teams, Cameron. Last year, this team was awful, so much so that they fired their special teams coach by week three, I think. It appears that from a punter, kicker, return specialist standpoint, they're as good as anybody in the NFL. Still got some things penalty-wise they need to work out, but do you see that trio being as good as anybody else in the league right now?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not a big tracking punters and kickers throughout the league, but it'd be hard to see, you know, another grouping, performing as well. I know Ryan Succop, he made himself some money last night and throughout the year. It's a contract year for him, and he seemed like he's Mr. Automatic. So I know him and his agent were probably having a good time last night. Brett Kern has been really solid in that game as well. You haven't had to hear Bo Brinkley's name, which is always good for a long snapper. And you even saw a spurt from Madory Jackson in the kick return game, although it kind of goes It kind of has been heckle and jive in that area, but you saw that spurt. So I think, you know, they'd love to get back that kick return that the Colts took deep into their zone last night. But otherwise, they've been much improved in the special teams area, and that's helping them, you know, put up points when they need it.
We're talking to Cameron Wolf from ESPN. So, Cameron, right now, according to NFL.com, you're looking at a Titans team that, through all the tiebreakers and everything, sits at first place in the division. From your eye test, does it look like a first-place football team to you?
I think it looks like the AFC South, no matter what the team looks like. I think this team still has some things to work out. I don't think we can crown them based on one performance against a Colts team without Andrew Luck. I think this was promising. I think this was something that you needed to see. I think we would have had a different vibe this morning if they would have won ugly 17-16 and they didn't really play well. I think the offensive resurgence in the second half and the defensive second straight week where the defense played well, particularly in the second half, gives you a lot of optimism. You go against Cleveland next week, you think you win that game. You know, nothing's a gimme in the NFL, but you think that's a game you should win, and then you go into your bye week 4-3, at least tie for first place in the AFC South, and the back end of your schedule is really manageable. So you say, okay, maybe this team can still hit all of their goals and expectations that, you know, we thought they could hit coming into the season. So I still think there's some growing pains they need to go through, and there's some things they need to get better at. But I think they're right in the mix to be where they need to be.
Cameron, if they survive the Cleveland game without a large injury of some sort, which obviously is a big concern, it's a game they should win as a franchise and as a team. And then they get into the bye week. Does this team look like it could be as healthy as it's been all season when they come back from that bye?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right, because, you know, don't forget you got Corey Davis coming back, whether it's this week or right after the bye. Jonathan Cyprian, the starting safety that you've missed since week one, he's going to be back sometime after the bye. So you get two starters back on that end. And like you mentioned, if there's no other significant injuries, you come into after the bye where you have all 22 of your starters healthy. And I'm not sure how many NFL teams can say that. And, you know, that's something that really makes a difference as you go into November and December. It's, you know, the NFL's a war of attrition. And if your team is still standing strong at many of its core positions, then you're going to be have an advantage down the stretch, particularly with the type of football that they like to play.
How much impact, Corey, do you think that Cameron, do you think Corey can have? You see, I got all flustered there. How much impact do you think
Corey? I think Cameron's going to have a huge impact on the second half of the season.
Yeah, Cameron, you're going to get out there and run some routes for Corey. No, so with him missing all the practice time he's missed, how much impact do you think he can have realistically when he comes in?
Well, yeah, I think he'll have a bigger impact than me at the very least. I think he'll have a big impact. I think the big thing for him is he's got to stay healthy. I hope they really make sure the hamstring's 100% before they push him out there. Because you look at a scenario where another tweak of that hamstring, he could be, you know, that could be putting him on the shelf for the rest of the year. And you don't want that. We saw in that first game, he had missed all of camp, all of preseason, and he came in and had a really strong game. And I think that just shows his pure talent, his ability to make plays. And I know he's been in the playbook. I talk to him weekly. And he's ready to get back out there. So I think he can really establish himself on the second end of the season as the Titans, you know, at least 1B receiver to Rishard Matthews, wide receiver, and really open up the Titans offense even more and give them more downfield threats. So I think, you know, Marcus, all the Titans, you know, Terry Rubisky, are eager to get him back in the lineup and to force defenses to play them even more conservatively as far as their passing game.